session. Turn to Revelation 18. You will see the similarities here in the tie-in with the verses that we looked at in Jeremiah and Isaiah. Actually had one verse in Daniel that illustrates the overthrow of the United States, and that's the one with the eagle's wings being plucked off of the back of the lion. So anyway, here we are, Revelation 18. Now, there are two Babylons in Revelation. There's the one in 17 and the one in 18. They are two separate entities. They're not, this is the second, 18 isn't a rehash of 17. They are distinct by a close, an examination of the information will make that clear. I had a book in my library called Two Babylons, but it does not have to do with an economic political Babylon versus a religious Babylon, but I'll make mention of that. We might look at this later. All right, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. Now, John is involved in a virtual reality presentation of this information. Okay? You have to understand that all that John saw and observed in this monumental book, all of it occurred up here. It was not external to him, as in a movie theater. It was all virtual reality brought into his mind, like the most vivid dream you can't even imagine, and it was done in increments. The Apostle John, of course, at this time in his life, is elderly, and under persecution, he has been placed in a work colony on a little island called the island of Patmos, off the Greek coast. He was subsequently released from there. But under persecution, and he was the last living apostle, John. Just as a little bit of background. His career went from a young man in his 20s all the way up to around 96 AD. When he was with Jesus in the early 30s AD, and all those years, and he has been relegated out on this work colony. Patmos. It's not an attractive island. It's just where they put people. And he was a political prisoner, if you will, under persecution. But God's word is not bound by the circumstances of which men do. God revealed to him the entire capstone of the Bible, the book of Revelation, which we would have a lot of unanswered questions without it. I couldn't determine who the Antichrist was without it. I needed that key to make it work. And that's in that segment of the revelation of information to him dealing with the overthrow of the religious Babylon of 17. After these things, this refers to the great city that rules over the kings of the earth in a different way. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. Where do you think this angel got this authority? From God. Great authority. And the earth was illumined with his glory. Kind of hard to do on a ball. At the second advent, in this time frame, this angel will come down out of heaven and light up everything. Even the sun doesn't do that. There's places where it's dark and light. He lights up everything. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon, the great." He's announcing the overthrow of it. While it hasn't been accomplished when he says these words to humanity, after the rapture at a certain point, all humanity will be apprised of it. And he makes this pronouncement. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and despicable bird. Now that deals with two categories. It deals with demonism and it deals with human beings. They're the dirty birds. And she's become filled with this. You probably have your own examples, but they are all over the place with regard to the degeneracy of humanity in the United States in all walks of life. And the increase in demon activity where people are corrupt, demons attach themselves to this. And I'm not just talking about the kind of demon activity that you saw in the life of Christ where, you know, they cause people to be violent or throw themselves on the ground or in a fire or something. So, rampant demonism in Babylon with all of the new things that are being promoted right and left, you can see it. It's just insane stuff. Those that are involved in the Antifa movement claim to have contact with spirits. Because communism, Marxism is demonism. The overthrow of the family, the overthrow of the normal, an attack on the divine institution of marriage. For the new session of the Congress coming up, they rewrite the rules of procedure and speech. They're eliminating mother and father, son and daughter, from the vocabulary. That's what they want to do. What? This attack on the difference between the two genders. It's so obvious that there's two genders, isn't there? When did you mess that one up? These are the kind of whacked out stuff that's going on in this country. I can't even begin to illustrate all the examples of demonism. Demons attach themselves to corruption. And it is referred to as not a nice place, a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Now she's portrayed like in the first one, like a woman. And all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. So the immorality here isn't just referring to sexual stuff. It's referring to the immoral foreign policy and policies, domestic and foreign, that characterize the country as we move forward. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Okay? So merchants of the earth, again, that's another factor. Sometimes we call her commercial Babylon. Economic Babylon. And all this connection. I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues." The call to exit. Consistent with everything I showed you in Jeremiah and Isaiah. The call to leave does not apply to you and I as believers currently. Only to those who become believers after the big rapture event. The disappearance of so many of us. I don't know what the percentage will be. How many actual believers are alive and living in America at the rapture. But it will no doubt be tens of millions of people disappear. Be subtracted from this country. Leaving their homes, their jobs, and everything down here. The human race, the American people are told to leave this country. And he calls them my people. Now it could be argued that he's just appealing to Jews. But that's not, other verses indicate that people would be going back to the nations of their ancestry, of their, for her sins have piled up as high as heaven. This is the metaphor off of the Tower of Babel. We are going to build a tower to reach to heaven. And so it is like piling up. There's this level reaching. It's nothing that you can see. It's something that simply her sins have piled up. And when they reach that point, in God's mind, then the judgment will fall. That's the point of it. Because God is consistent. The punishment always meets the crime. It's not excessive or anything like that. High as heaven. And God has remembered her iniquities, her historical iniquities. They might have occurred early in her career or whenever. He remembers this. Pay her back. Recompense. Even as she has paid. And give back to her double according to her deeds. America will get double discipline. Why? Is that fair? It's factored times two because of all the privileges we have had. And I think to a certain extent, a great extent, that we have had in this church religious freedom and a lot of believers through time. And they aren't acting as a salt of the earth. In the cup which she is mixed. This has to do with her domestic or foreign policies and things that she has released out there in the world. Like I said before, no United States support, there'd be no UN. And it isn't a factor for good in the human race. It's one worldism. And all the things that go along with it, they're behind so much. In the cup which she is mixed, mix twice as much for her. Give her a double shot of it. To the degree that she has glorified herself and lives sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen. This is a quote from Isaiah 47, which we just looked at. I sit as a queen, and I 47:7. And I am not a widow, and I will never see mourning. So see, he ties it in to the Isaiah passage. This is the connect. The arrogance. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come. Now, in a nuclear exposure thing, the plagues are multiple. It's not just for some a fiery elimination, but it's death and sickness and other ways. Plagues will come. They're listed here. Pestilence. Nuclear pestilence. Mourning. People are going to be very sad. And famine. You can't keep food down if you're exposed to the nuclear thing. You just can't. Famine. Even if food is available. But obviously a lot of the foodstuffs will be completely destroyed. And those who are surviving for a short period of time will suffer extreme famine. And she'll be burned up with fire. For the Lord God who judges her is strong. And of course we know he uses an instrument. This chapter does not mention the source of the fiery judgment. We have to go to the Old Testament to get that. But what it does tell us is something interesting in terms of what we know about places that have been exposed to nuclear contamination. We're the first country on earth, our civilized America. We're the first country on earth to unleash this atomic weapon of mass destruction on two Japanese cities. We did it. And everybody on the ground, in hospitals, in schools, blah, blah, all up, wiped them out. Well, not everybody died, but the fact is we indiscriminately dropped these two, and we didn't need to win World War II. We didn't need to do anything like that. It was barbaric. Same thing was done in Europe under Churchill, firebombing these cities like he hated the Germans, period. And we firebombed Dresden. And it wasn't even militarily significant. Killing mass populations of people. This isn't appropriate. We had leaders, we had people that spoke out against this. Of course, our dropping the opening of the nuclear age. Guess who starts it all off? Russia? China? No. United States. That's why we had to bring all those Nazi scientists over here under Operation Paperclip so they could work in our science areas, work on these kind of things because they were smart. I thought they were Nazis. We gave them a new beginning. We discriminate like we want it. We do what we want to do. We're inconsistent and we're evil. So many things are awful. Anyway, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord her God judges her. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They're not going to like it. Standing at a distance, there's your nuclear deal. Why can't they come close? Standing at a distance. Because of the fear of her torment, saying, the fear of her torment is nuclear waste fallout. And of course, it's going to be caught up in the atmosphere and the winds and scattered all over the place. But again, remember always, Jesus Christ controls history and even controls that aspect of it. This is a prophetic reference from 96 AD to future nuclear war. The fear of her burning. Ordinary burning, no one would be afraid. They let it burn out, go in, do what they got to do. This is nuclear contamination. A note with regard to the flourishing of the animals during the millennium on the soil of the United States. A note on this. You probably heard of the nuclear reactor that got out in the open, Chernobyl. Still comes up in the news every once in a while. And everybody in that area where they had this nuclear reactor and it spilled and did its thing, all the people got away. You know, they have special... You know what's flourishing in that still highly radioactive? Animals. They're going nuts. Go figure. I don't know the science behind that, but that's what I've been told. So they're standing at this distance and they're going, "Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the strong city. For in 1 hour, your judgment has come." There will be a fateful hour. It'll be marked. Let time stand still when these nukes start coming in from all directions. From wherever Russia has them. It's from the farthest horizons. The only candidate is Russia. It is actual people that do the destruction under the direction of God. Not that they think they're doing God's will, they're just doing their political will. And there must be something really desperate that they think they've got to do to destroy us in 1 hour of one day. And risk the blowback from it with all this nuclear radiation thrown all over the earth. Because it does not discriminate and it will go everywhere. All this mess that's sucked up into the atmosphere will be distributed by the four winds of heaven everywhere. And it's one of the seal judgments in Revelation. It's the one that's the fourth horse of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, I'll document another passage We'll run over here to James, the book of James, just for a second. Chapter 5. James 5. This is dealing with all kinds of rich people all the time through history. This isn't the rich have their fate. If they die unbelievers, they end. But this is dealing with a temporal judgment. So it must be confined to somebody. The Christians to whom this letter was written were being oppressed by rich men, rich Jews who were not treating these Christians who worked for them properly. But this is a prophecy. Prophecies can pop up anywhere. Come now, you rich. This is the last day's rich. But I can't believe that it refers to, you know, a rich man in South Korea or wherever. The richest man in, they'll say that every once in a while. It has to be a group confined somewhere. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl. Now the rich, the real rich, they're building underground bunkers. And these aren't just little fallout shelters, tornado shelters. These things are elaborate underground developments that they're building to ride out doomsday. They figure they've got everything down there they need for years to come. They're spending money building these underground tunnels and cities where they can ride out doomsday. But God's after them, so their little hole in the ground isn't going to cut it. I don't care if they've thought of everything. They haven't thought of everything. How easy it is to overthrow anything. Whenever men trust in walls, in weapons, in wealth, and all the rest of it, they are fools. How many people have gone down trusting in their wealth? Trusting in, I'm retiring to some remote place in Venezuela. There's even people who have gotten out of here already thinking something bad's coming to this country. Things don't look good. And we're getting out and going to tell you what you can do to get out and how you can protect yourself and all the rest. We don't need any of that. All we need is Bible doctrine and stay in the direct will of God. Come now, you rich, weep and howl. Can you imagine a rich man literally howling in agony, knowing that it's all over for him? Because he's still alive. He couldn't weep, but he couldn't howl. For your miseries which are coming on you. Now here is another nuclear reference to nuclear contamination in the Bible, which makes no sense otherwise. Your garments have rotted. Oh, they got elaborate garments. And rich people know how to protect their garments. They put them in special rooms with special paneling. And everything so these little critters can't get in there and attack them. They protect their stuff. And your garments have become moth-eaten. Not the moth that maybe you've seen and I've seen that what I got this little hole in my suit for. The little moth. So we might line our closet with cedar because that repels them. Your garments are moth-eaten. Nuclear moths. Your gold and your silver have rusted. Well, when did you see gold rust last time? Gold doesn't rust. You can put gold on the floor of the ocean and when they go back and find it, it's still gold. Yeah, silver will tarnish. But gold doesn't. That's the dynamic of gold. It's one of the things that makes it so valuable. We have found shipwrecks down the bottom of the ocean, and all the gold coins are just there, perfect. So how do you do that? Gold rust? Not gold rust. It's nuclear. They have hoarded up golden bars. They collect these Gold and silver always stand out as they will get you through a lot in economic difficulties. Have rusted, and their rust, nuclear contamination, read, will be a witness against you. And then it even gets weirder if you don't know about the nuclear part. It just gets weirder. And will consume your flesh like fire. Rust on gold doesn't work, but even if it did, then how is that going to consume your flesh like fire? All this will be blown up on them, and they will be, their bodies will be exposed to this contamination. And so you have one of the strangest verses. And then we have, it is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. The super rich of the end time. One of the reasons God has against them, apart from being saved or not, behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, and which has been held by you. Again, this isn't conventional. Some plantation owner, as it were, who isn't paying people what he's supposed to, and he said he would. That's not what this is. This is, in a word, inflation. Debasing the currency. They're not affected by it. The buying power of the almighty dollar. It's that their economic game they play with the Federal Reserve and the international banking system. Another word for you, usury. Why should the United States government borrow from foreign and domestic bankers to pay our bills? Why don't we just coin our own currency, print our own currency, and tell them to jump in the Atlantic? We're not doing it anymore. There have been those congressmen who have cried out against this monopoly of hidden stock, of hidden people who are the stockholders, if you will, of the Federal Reserve System. And some of them aren't even Americans. The Zard, that's French. Banking houses. See, this whole scheme of Babylonian banking was cranked up by the House of Rothschild. That's Germans, a German guy, and it's the House of the Red Shield, Rothschild. And he sent his seven sons to the capitals. He sent to England, Great Britain, Nathan, and others to the other countries, and set up and started this thing where governments would borrow from them if they needed money, like, we need to go to war. Okay, what do you need? And then who do they saddle with the debt? The taxpayer. We are $28 trillion in debt. You can't make that up. Make it up in any way you can think of. The whole system would have to be scrapped and restarted. 28 trillion? And who, and our Congress has authority, they never shut this thing down. And at points in our history, our presidents have stood for devaluing the dollar. Nixon did it, Roosevelt did it, and now they're trying to do a new scheme on us. Digital dollar. We don't want you having cash anymore. Because we want to know if you went into that store and bought bubble gum or whatever you bought. You can't breathe without us knowing. So what degree that's going to get onto it? Cries out against you. Behold the pay of the laborers which mowed your field. What's crying out to you? Metaphorically, the pay. The salary they should have gotten. Cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of the armies. That's like Lord of the Hosts of Old Testament. So both Lord of the Hosts. You have lived luxuriously. Lifestyle. I'm talking the super rich on the earth. And led a life of wanton pleasure. Anything you wanted, you got. You have fattened your hearts. He makes an analogy to fattened calves. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. And I don't know who that is. It's a singular individual that they kill that God isn't pleased with. Because in the rest of this chapter, we have a description of a couple people who are righteous. Or in James, the righteous. Okay. So what are we to do? First century Christians, move it all the way on to us. Therefore, be patient. That's what I got to do every day with this mess. Be patient. Hold your ground. Don't budge. Don't run. And all the rest. No matter what's going on in your church, no matter how many people are leaving and who's left now, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And we will pick this up Tuesday night. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to be together today and hear these things to keep us on the alert. In Jesus' name, amen.